Fred from Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 FIAF Congress, and Ilcina Maritrovato is starting here in Bologna in a few days as well. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Martin Kerber, who is the head of film archive at Deutsche Kinemathek. So thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the first question is kind of the obligatory question, and if you could tell our listeners just a little bit about Deutsche Kinemathek, what it does, its various activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Deutsche Kinemathek is one of the film archives that we have in Germany. We have several, and we are obviously collecting films. We are collecting television to some extent. We are collecting everything that is related to film. So we have large collections which are non-film. They could be paper, they could be photographs, they could be posters, they could be costumes, they could be even machines. We have a huge collection of film apparatus that goes back to 1890s, sort of. And we have an exhibition. We run a museum, which is one of our outside faces, if you will, or these days they call it interface. That's where the audience can meet us, in the museum. There's a permanent exhibition and there is a temporary exhibition that is changing every once in a while. And then we do programming to a smaller extent in cinemas that are friends of ours, and we have a large collection of viewing prints which can go out to other venues. So we have about, like, I would say between 12 and 15,000 titles available as viewing prints that people can rent from us.
Yeah, before we talk about the archive, you brought up an interesting point, the exhibitions. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the permanent one in more depth.
Yeah, obviously the permanent exhibition is a reflection of our collections. It's kind of the tip of the iceberg that you can see, and then the rest of the iceberg is in the collections, in the vaults itself, and that's where researchers come and dig things up, or where we do our own research if we are preparing a new exhibition. The walk through the permanent exhibition would be a journey through the German film history, obviously, but also through international film industry to some extent, because the German film industry has had ties with international film people, of course, and especially throughout the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, there was a lot of exchange going on between German film industry and Hollywood. A lot of important directors went to Hollywood already in the 1920s, like Ernst Lubitsch or Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau and some others. And then in 1933, when the Nazis came to power, obviously a large part of the film industry had to leave the country or else they would have been killed. So there was another emigration for other reasons, but we consider the films that these people made in other countries, be it France, Czechoslovakia, Spain, or Hollywood, as part of a German film history in exile, and that is part of our collections. We have a huge collection concerning the exiled film community in other countries, and we reflect that in the exhibition, of course. There is going to be a temporary exhibition from next week, which is going to be about science fiction.
Oh, wow.
So it's not necessarily contemporary German filmmaking, but it's a theme-based thing, which of course has also a large international aspect. And our temporary exhibitions in general tend to be internationally oriented.
Oh,
because we have the German stuff in the permanent exhibition.
Getting back to the film archive, you said how many titles approximately are in the collection as we speak?
In the collection, if you break it down into titles, and let's just talk about the titles that we do have actually on film, for which we have film elements, be it negatives or viewing prints, I think it's about 28,000 titles. I mean, I would have to look up the exact number. We have a lot more on video carriers that one can come in and consult. That's about 50,000 more, I would think. But those we don't consider to be part of the archive because they are just like home video of one format or another that you can consult in the library or on our viewing machines.
The film themselves, are they digitized as well as part of the process?
Well, some are digitized.
What
obviously, not many, because it's a question of money and it's a question of the time. Digitization in in a serious manner, that means higher than HD, so it's 2K or up, only started really a few years ago. And we can do about 4 or 5 titles, maybe features, that where we really invest into digital preservation, if you will, on the highest possible level. That we can do about 4 or 5 titles a year. A lot more digitization happens through access, and then also sometimes in lower resolution formats, Digibeta, HD, or whatever. Whenever somebody comes and wants a clip from a film, say, then we try to address this film totally for that occasion, and also try to use the influx of the money that we would get for the clipping to finance it.
Yeah.
But of course, not for every film, everything is possible at any given time. So we have to upscale or downscale our digitization scheme according to the needs of this particular project that comes in, and also according to the funds that are available.
Of course, and also there's kind of a debate of whether it is, in the long run, there might not be something better than digitization. What's your kind of opinion on the whole process of digitization?
Yeah, well, in the long run, we're all dead, obviously, as we all know. Which is probably true for film too, but we don't know.
Oh man, I hope not. I really do.
Not so soon. It will certainly live longer than I do. But I think the long-term solution should be that we hold on to the analog originals as long as possibly one can. So this, the film that's in the can, so to speak, of course, is always the gold standard for what this film is or was. However, handling the film nowadays usually involves a digitization, because there's no other way to go, because the industry left the photochemical path a long while ago. There is no considerable access to films on film anymore, except for the viewing prints that we have on 35mm that do actually go to a venue where they still have a projector and a capable projectionist.
Oh yeah.
The latter is the more dangerous aspect of projection, actually, because we see a considerable downfall of the expertise in the venues that we service, and we sometimes make new prints and we get them back scratched after only one screening. I mean, so we are thinking about going digital completely for access, because it is too dangerous for the films nowadays, unless we are talking about venues that we really know well. Like, I mean, if I send a film to the George Eastman House, obviously I know that nothing would happen to it. It would rather come back cleaned and nicer than before. But for general release of any of our archival stuff, the normal way of sending a print has become pretty unviable.
Yeah, no, that's something that isn't really usually brought up when people talk about archive and anything like that. Another aspect that kind of doesn't come up, but it does pop in my head, is that people sometimes don't think that modern films are archived, just because everything is technical nowadays. Do you get a lot of modern films?
Yes, we do get a lot of modern films, because we are on the receiving end of the modern film industry, as far as they are funded by the Berlin-Brandenburg funding agencies. If they only get funding from this agency, then they have to deposit something with us at the end of the production. And in the old days, this used to be a film print, which is a pretty useless deposit thing, because we cannot touch it. It's on deposit for, because it's the law, so we cannot screen it. It shouldn't be damaged. On the other end, it's only a print. I'd rather take the negative, because that's where the quality really is. That's what you want to use when you want to revive the film decades later. But that wasn't in the law, so we don't usually get that unless we talk to the filmmakers and the producers and we convince them of the advantages that it has to deposit the material once you no longer need it in your daily business, and you can put it somewhere where it's really safe.
Yeah.
In terms of climate, and also in terms of stability of the organization, because most of the production companies, they don't last as long as a film archive does. Modern films obviously are produced digitally one way or the other, and then we make sure we don't get only a DVD or only a DCP or something, but we want the master. And we usually can convince the producers that it makes a lot of sense to give us a copy of their master file, because it gives them some extra backup, which they would otherwise have to pay for, or they would not even think about.
Yeah. Well, in terms of actually Deutsche Kinemathek and what it does, do you still find it a challenge to kind of get help to keep it running. Sometimes, you know, cinema in general is just portrayed on a lower level than a lot of other art forms. Internationally, and whether you're talking about film education or film exhibition or anything like that. Is that still a problem for Deutsche Kinemathek?
Of course. I mean, I could go endlessly on about how we are underfunded and, and how we are kind of, how I would need four times the amount of people I have to keep everything running and so forth, but that's not very interesting. But in effect, if you compare it, for instance, to a cinematic country like France, then one can see the difference. I mean, the Cinémathèque Française, for instance, is a very comparable institution in terms of collection size. And they have about four times as many people, and they have like seven times more money every year. Because France is a cinema literate country, you might say, you know, and it's, you can talk to anybody on the street and they will know who Godard was and or is, or who Truffaut was, and who even Henri Michaux was, or whatever, you know. That, I mean, that's in the, it's ingrained in that society, and that is not the case in Germany. And that reflects itself in the attention that the society on the whole gives, what kind of attention it gives to, and what kind of funding it gives to institutions which deal with film heritage, of course.
Yeah. Well, the final question is kind of more recent. We're in Bologna, of course, now at the Congress, at the FIAF Congress. Mm-hmm. So I would just like to ask you, what kind of activities would you look forward to being involved in this concert, in this Congress? And also, as a second part, maybe is there anything from the festival Cinema Ritrovato that you are keen in seeing?
Oh, the Cinema Ritrovato Festival as such is sheer madness, you know. It's like 500 films in 8 days, and so that already tells you, before you even come here and see the catalogue, that you will miss 98% of the programme out of the necessity to breathe, eat, and not be in two venues at the same time. Which is, and then, of course, there's all these other meetings that you have to do with colleagues that you want to talk to. So the time for the films is limited to maybe like 4 or 5 hours a day, which isn't very much out of 24. That's too bad, but any given time of the day you can go into any of the venues and find something that's interesting, no problem. As far as the Congress goes, I look forward to some more events that are coming up and that I will actually be participating in. And of course, in the festival, we present a latest restoration of Georg Wilhelm Pabst film from 1931, Westfront 1918, which is somehow dear to me, even though it's a difficult film about World War I, because it was one of the first films I worked on in the 1980s, in those days, an analog restoration. And we have revived it in digital with a student of mine who basically turned it upside down, you could say, and we have not a new film, but we have certainly something that is, looks very different and very much better, and very digital compared to the analog days where we had no means of correcting many things that were printed into the elements we had to use. So I'm looking forward to present that also side by side with the old stuff, and that's going to happen here as well.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It was a real pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.